Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
I am unashamed. What about you?
Doing about 55, 60. He said, he just slowed down. She just...
Well, it went under his truck.
She backed out. She backed off his vehicle, gunned it, did a U-turn, and took off.
Serious?
Yeah.
This is Cade from our crew?
Yeah.
And it was a new truck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's proud of it. Dang, you know, he had it all jacked up there, but that wound all that up.
Well,
bent the frame.
Poor Cade. I mean, because he's been driving this piece of crap car for his whole life. And got finally, you know, works hard enough, saves up some money, and gets him a nice big truck.
That's
and,
what he was saying. He said, I tell you.
No, know. I was.
McKellar told me that. He said, never fall in love with a hunk of metal.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good saying.
That's a good saying. He said, never fall in love with a hunk of metal because something's going to happen to it.
Yeah.
Having said that, Kellett had the worst vehicle. Let me think about this. It was the worst I've ever seen. He had a little old
orange Datsun.
Yeah. And I.
It was before they put Nissan. It was a Datsun.
For some reason, I got in his vehicle one time. You're talking about in a bind. Because I needed a ride. And he said, I'll give you a ride. And I got in that thing. And I thought.
It was a little two-seater.
So he lives that. Never put your hope in a hunk of metal.
Well, now you're right. I didn't even think about that. He made that easy to do because he just drove things you would never love. Yeah. I mean, how could you love that? I got in the thing, Kellett's that old orange one he's talking about. And look, it wants to take a hard left the whole time you're driving it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've had many vehicles.
I had to fight it back the whole time you're driving it. You got a hard turn just to keep from running right off into the ditch on the left side. It was not.
Well, this conversation started because I got my truck uplifted, which got my attention. So, well, if something uplifting.
Is your truck rejoicing? This now an uplifted truck?
That's, yeah, they call them lift kits.
Yeah. Well, I was walking through Duck Commander. I was actually getting some dog food. They got some kind of dog food sponsor. And, you know, I go back into the holy of holies.
You slip back in there where they got a hiding all the merchandise.
I heard y'all got some dog food back here.
There's a room, Dad, somewhere at Duck Commander. I don't know where. You just have to do a secret handshake to find it. Because
I actually broke into that thing. In the early days when we were filming that Benelli Presents Duck Commander, yeah. I remember we had this producer. Phil called him the Marine. And he said, because they would interview us and they would build the show based on whatever happened in that interview as far as what was going on. I mean, it was as real as it could be. And he said, what's going on in your life right now? I said, well, it's come to my attention that there is a room that's now been deemed the Holy of Holies where all these sponsors send stuff for us to use. And key word being us. I said, but Willie has got this thing locked back here and you cannot gain access. You're out. And he's like, well, what are you thinking? I was like, I want to break in that thing. So I broke in it. I mean, we legitimately broke. They filmed it and made a little TV show out of it. But trust me, I was shopping. And the first few things I found had my name on it. I'm like, who confiscates something with my name on it?
No, you know what he was going to do? He was going to hold those back for Christmas presents stuff like that. It was going to be like, Jace, I had something specially made for you.
Well, the only time I hear from them is they'll call and they'll say, could you work it into your schedule to give us five lines, no more than five lines, on what you think about Benelli shotguns? That was the last about 3 or 4 weeks ago. That was the
request.
You
have some good history of some good lines for Benelli.
Yeah.
I have to say.
We went from the boom, boom, boom is the one that they said, so what do you think? I said, well, the best kind of shotgun there is one that'll go boom, boom, boom every time without hanging up.
And they had written the whole commercial.
The Marine looked at it. He said, good night. That's it.
So yesterday, look, I go to Duck Commander. First of all, I walked through there because when I pulled up, they said a pitcher. So they're going to uplift my truck. So I bought a vanilla Ford truck, like three down from like the top of the line. I don't even know what it's called. Everybody knows these model numbers. I'm not looking at
just an F-150.
Well, it's F-150, but it's like a...
you got something. Yeah, mine's like a King Ranch.
Yeah, mine's like two down from that.
Yeah.
And
Dad and I are driving the top.
So I drive by and I hear Si in there just railing him. I was like, Si's back working here again? Well, they were doing their podcast.
You should just bust it in the...
I thought about it, but then I thought, oh no, they'll turn this into a 45-minute episode. And so I go out there and they're like, we're going to pull your truck up for you. And all the people who worked on it, I think they're called Rock Uplifters or something like that. They're from South Carolina.
So they met you at Duck Commander.
Yeah, one of the Buck Commander people, they worked with Buck Commander.
Yeah.
And they got in my truck and drove it to South Carolina.
Wow.
And left me a rental.
Yeah.
So I've been driving a rental for a week. Well, I went out there and I was like, my first line, I think, was, it's like this truck has been baptized.
Which explains the uplift.
It was a new, I was keeping that theme. And, of course, Grant was there, who I really like. Grant, he works for Buck Commander. And he was like, hey, if you don't like it, you know, I'll make you an offer. And I said, I'll let you ride with me. And then I said, because they're looking for line, you know, they set a picture, but there were cameras and you know, I was like, who are all these people? Because they wanted to get that.
Is your aim like functional in the mud, better in the mud and all, or is the goal is basically just the look of it?
Not the look, which it looks like what you would say a mad spider.
Yeah.
Which I said, I want the shortest lift kit, but they said, oh, we just couldn't. We just had to raise it on. They just couldn't. I thought, you know, it's kind of is a spiritual thing. They're like,
I always found that it was more difficult to get in one of them like that because it's up.
You got to climb in.
Check this out. So the first thing.
Is it out there in the parking lot?
Oh, yeah. The first thing I do.
Well, I'm proud for you, Jason.
Phil, is I open the door. And when I open the door, I heard meep and these running boards. Come out on the side that you can step up on it. Mm-hmm. Well, I closed the door and they went, meep. They went up under the truck. Can't even see them. They're not invisible.
I got that.
And when Jace and Willie were sitting there 35, 40 years ago, I said, one day, boys, you'll be driving around on one of these jacked up rigs around town you see up there. That's what y'all will be driving. And they said, they'd laugh. They said, yeah.
Never gonna happen.
That ain't gonna happen.
Well,
I said it will happen. You just hold on.
Phil, they traded me a pitcher for this, so it's kind of hard to be that guy and say, "No, I'm good." But the bumpers on this thing—I mean, this old boy. I like this boy. He's like, "Now, if you hit a deer now, won't leave a scratch."
Really? That's redneck language right there.
If I hit a deer with this bumper, it's not going to leave a scratch.
Yeah. That's Red type thinking there.
I said, on the deer or the bumper? He said, oh, no, it'll kill the deer. Okay. So then they had this. I'd never seen this. Like if you want to pull a trailer, the trailer hitch, it like folds under your truck. You pull two pins, pull it out, pull another pin, and you rotate it to which.
Oh, that's measurement. A pretty good idea.
Oh, yeah. Because I said, well, now plus that there is a shin.
That's what I was going to say. Because how many times have you hit your shin on
this guy who works on truck? He lifted his pants leg up, and there were three scars right here on his shin.
Three hits.
I said, so you invented that? He's like, no, but I appreciate it greatly. It had a winch on it. They got these window covers that if it, I was like, what's this for? He said, what if it's raining, you can roll the window down.
Oh, yeah.
I said,
the drive through.
Well, no, isn't that something? Of course, I had a bed cover, bed liner, leather seats, because you know, I just had the most basic vehicle. No.
So these old boys, they were.
So the companies that did this.
That's what they did.
Well, Jace,
for y'all to advertise it.
Yeah, Jace is probably on their website this morning, you know. So.
Probably. I mean, I did all kinds of videos. Well, what they do is they had an idea.
But hey, it's a good deal for you. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Look, I don't even know these people. I was walking through Duck Commander getting some dog food, and Grant said, hey, are you going to buy a new truck? I was going to tell that story earlier. I said, yeah, I'll buy it. I mean, because I was just playing along. Yeah. I really wasn't thinking about buying one. He said, well, if you'll just buy the most basic truck, he said, and you need to buy a Ford. I was like, why a Ford? He's like, well, they've already taken pictures with the other models. I was like, who is they? So then he's like, well, what they did is they took a, you know, a truck for Jason Aldean and I think Luke Bryan. He's like, they were looking for somebody to buy a Ford.
I prefer Ford anyway. One is I think they're a better ride, but two is they were the only ones that didn't take the bailout back in 2008. I mean, that marked, in my mind, I was like, you know, Ford, they're an old company. You know, they didn't want to get hooked in with the government. I like them. We've driven Chevrolets. I mean, I'm not anti.
I like the truck, you know, but I really like it now. But you're right. Don't put all your hopes and dreams in a hunk of metal. There's one mishap. You're one mishap away from just having.
I remember the first time I got a new one. You know, one of these nice trucks, because I'm always just like everybody else. You drove whatever you could afford. And I remember, I mean, I was so proud of it. I mean, it drove so good. And I was like, you know, like babying it. And I had it maybe 3 months. And so Lisa dropped me off. I was having lunch with somebody and went to run a couple of errands. And she texts me and says, I wrecked your truck. And of course, I thought it was a joke because she knew how much I love this truck. I jokingly told people that, you know, now they're changing marriage. I said, if anything ever happens to Lisa, I'm marrying this truck. You know, I'm good with that. So that's how I felt about it. And so that's why I learned the lesson. And so I'm with some guys from the church. I may have even been there. So I texted them. I said, are you okay? Which was a smart first question. But I really wanted to say, how bad is it? Yeah, I'm fine. I hit a fire hydrant. And I said, how bad? And then my next question was, how bad is it? And she said, I'm on my way. And I thought, oh, crap. You know, she's tore up my truck. So she pulls up, and it just looked like somebody just smashed the truck right in the grill. It was just the whole front grill was just tore out.
You needed a Jason bumper.
Exactly. But I was like,
that was my favorite thing on the truck.
I said, you hit a fire hydrant. Was the fire hydrant was there when you pulled in? Yeah, they didn't put it in. How do you hit a stationary thing?
Miss K's logic is, why would somebody put a 3.5-foot pole in the middle of the Walmart parking lot? What you doing there? I didn't know that was there. And I said, what'd you do when you hit it? She said, I gunned it. I gunned it, but it wouldn't move. I'm like,
I told Lisa, I was like, you knew. I said, you were jealous because how much I love that truck. And so the first thing you did was just go down there and smash her right in the mouth.
No, I think that's a typical Robert.
Yeah, they fixed it.
Robertson response. Assess blame.
Oh, I was on it. But I was smart enough. I've grown enough to where I did inquire about her well-being before I started in on the, why did you do this?
All I try to get out of a vehicle, like a truck like that, is about 5 or 6 years trouble free. And it usually give you about 5 or 6 years. I don't drive over 30 miles an hour, 20. I'm coming over here.
No, I've been behind you.
When the road dries out, I go over there in the woods and come back. But you'd say, but it's never gunned. But you know, and you have to have a four-wheel drive around here.
That's my point. I have this.
I understand.
You have to have a winch. If it's not you, it's somebody.
I have a winch, by the way.
Yeah, your neighbor. They're sitting there. What happened?
Because we get stuck. I mean, things happen. You just have to do it.
So. Well, and that's one of the things that.
If I happen to drive by and you're in the ditch and your vehicle is, there's no problem. Just calm down. You know, women hollering, I tore up my husband. I said, let me get a chain on it. I'll get you out of there. And I just drag them out. I do it all the time.
Well, especially living out here. Yep. Let's take a quick break. So you remember in the old days, Dad, I don't think you participated, but I know Jace did. And I certainly did. We used to have to, when we shipped all of our duck calls, we would literally have to package up. Of course, it was not as much as it became, but package up everything. And then mom or me later or Jace later would have to drive up to West Monroe to the post office, stand in line with your packages. Yeah. So we used to have a big box or something we could roll around and just basically do business like everybody else. I mean, this is all pre.
No, I'm still doing that.
Humble beginnings.
I don't know what changed in
Jace
your life.
Never knew that there's a whole shipping industry now that's changed.
My wife and I spend a lot of time in the line at the post office.
Well, all right. So this is a product you might need to know about.
Well, tell me.
It's called stamps.com. And you don't have to go. I mean, you can now get everything sent straight to your computer to get your stamps. You don't have to go buy them anymore. You don't have to wait in line at the post office. Yeah. You get 40% off post office rates, 66% off UPS shipping rates, which is really good. So it saves you time and it saves you money. There's no risk. Use a promo code. You go to stamps.com. Use the promo code UNASHAMED. You get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in unashamed. That's stamps.com, unashamed. You won't have to go to the post office. So I do want to mention your book, Dad. This is your daily fill because June 1st is when it releases. It's exclusively in Walmart. So this is basically a devotional, 100 Days of Truth and Freedom to Heal America's Soul. And it's some stuff from excerpts from your book, and then we've added in some devotional thoughts. So
it's look excerpts forward at Walmart. From Blaze TV. I do about 12 or 15 minute blurbs, and whatever the topic is, different topics every day. Well, I just looked up one day, and I've done about 700 of those.
700 episodes.
And somebody, in their wisdom, not mine, decided, well, why don't we just get the material he's covered, put it in book form like a devotional. And I read through it. I said, that'd be worth reading.
Yeah, it's really interesting because In the Woods has sort of evolved.
Atheists would not care so much for it, but maybe they could, you atheist gals could just read about, you know, basically what the Bible says, how to live your life.
I like your
what
optimism.
What kind of person you are.
Exactly, you just know that people who do not believe in God say, yeah, I'm going to listen to this podcast unashamed.
They might. You know, Dad did Corolla. Corolla's an atheist, and he seems to like talking to you. So,
well, you if you know. Love everybody.
That's exactly right. Well, look,
Corolla is an honest, at least an honest atheist.
Yeah.
He's an honest humanist.
Yeah.
But he said, I was raised that way, my family. He said, so.
And he said rightly.
He said, I wish I could be like y'all.
Yeah, he rightly said, I think what a lot of people think, he said, I'm just not sure I'm cut out to be a believer. And I thought it was an interesting take because he just can't imagine, you know, having
that
part of his life.
He said, I don't think it's in me.
Yes. Isn't he a comedian?
Yeah.
Well, when he said, I wish I could be like y'all, that might have been a joke.
It could have been.
Might have been. I think he was. I mean, I mentioned it when he said that. I said it's called hope, Corolla.
Yeah.
Hey, I was at the last event I was at, and a woman was in line, and she said, "Is this is what you normally wear?" And I laughed because I assumed that was a joke. Because I'm like, why is she in a VIP line to see me? But she just was a big donor to what they were, because it was a dinner.
It was swanky, I bet.
And I said,
and you were wearing kind of what you're wearing here.
I said, well, I washed it. I got it out of the dryer this morning, and so she wasn't laughing. And so then I thought maybe she's serious. So I said, well, the Bible says that God does not look at what man looks at, the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. So I thought she'd say, oh, that's awesome. Nothing.
Crickets.
I said, I take it you don't want a picture. She's like, no.
You know what you call that, Jace? Not a fan.
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
But it was the attire
Yeah.
That we couldn't get past. I'm sure you're a nice guy and all that, and you're going
to
speak.
People
I'll
seem
listen.
To be excited about
yeah,
you. But
people are excited.
She did everything but say what the old guy said about me. I strongly dislike you.
That's right. But, I mean,
to her credit, at least she did it to your face.
I kind of appreciate
No reason why. Yeah, yeah. I just strongly dislike you, period.
I did appreciate the boldness. It doesn't offend me if somebody just, she yeah. just didn't like the camo look.
Yep.
At the event, I don't care who you are. This is not the look you should.
It took me a while to get into the world like y'all are, but I've done it too. I'm just like, whatever they say the dress is, I'm going to wear what I always wear to speak, and I'm not going to worry about it. I call it just playing the celebrity factor. It's just like you're invited to speak. You're who you are. That's what we're going to do.
Well, you know what's weird is yesterday when they showed up for my truck with all the cameras. Well, yesterday you noticed I had blue jeans on, which is the first time I've had a pair of blue jeans on in I would say a year. And you said, why did you do that? Because all my camo, which I don't have many clothes, my wardrobe is limited. They were
all dirty.
And I don't mean like dirty. I mean dirty. Actual dirt and mud. I was digging around.
You can wash mine, but they'll still be stained.
Yeah. We've noticed. Most people, when you get to that level of the shirt, I turn that into a dish rag. Yeah.
The greatest thing.
Those are wiping rags.
The greatest thing that can happen to you, I know y'all are not used to this kind of talk, but when you get to be older, when you get to be 75, as far as attire, you can get away with a whole lot. Because they pawn you off. He said, just some old coot is out there running his mouth.
I agree with that.
See, they don't care.
Well, what I was
I'm wearing my best when I appear in public, but my best was giveaways from companies that said, wear our britches and we'll support your program, whatever.
But I didn't finish my story. So they look at me and say, well, where's your camouflage? Because I didn't have any camouflage on. Because I didn't know they were going to film.
Oh, yeah.
I said, it's dirty. So I thought, you know, in less than a week, I had somebody highly offended because I wore camouflage to a dinner.
There you go.
And now these people are upset.
Because you're not wearing
it. I don't have a camouflage on, and we want to take some pictures. Where's the camo?
What's the old saying? Just like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So
no, look at the heart.
Clothes make a man. Clothes make a man. You're only as good as your clothes are. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, I don't agree with it.
Well, I don't either. But I mean, I'm just saying, Chase, if you got to be in the zone. So you're outside the zone.
I think as long as you have them on.
Yeah. As long as you're wearing them, that's a good thing.
You're embraced down here on the river and everything because weirdness is a good quality to have around here. If you're weird, you fit right on in here.
There's plenty of that around here. So I thought of a story. I got to tell the story before we get back into Romans. we were telling Kellett stories in vehicles. After that truck, Jace, he upgraded, he said, and he bought a car. This is in the 80s. And it was a diesel car, which you don't see many, you know, I see a lot of diesel trucks. You don't see a lot of diesel cars. But back in when fuel got real high back in the 70s, diesel was cheaper. So this old car, it was old. I already had a ton of miles on, but he's like, that's a diesel. It'll run forever. But it was constantly breaking down. So Mike and I are working together. So I'm picking him up at least once a week from his mechanic shop at this guy's working on the station. I'm like, Kella, this car, I mean, your wife's going to get stuck somewhere. I mean, you got to get rid of this car. Oh, boys. So he kept taking it. So he comes out to, we're working at summer camp. We're going to be there 6 weeks. He pulls up the first day. We get there. The staff's all coming in. We're getting ready to do orientation. He goes out there and he gets in his car to crank it. It won't crank. So I'm just like, oh, this car. He said, well, boys, we'll just leave right here. I'm going to get him to come out here and do it. Well, that car sat there for 6 weeks in front of the director's cabin. 6 weeks of camp. That car never moved. So Kellett is borrowing everybody's car every day. Every time he's got to go do something, he's borrowing my truck. He's borrowing Hawk's car. So at the end of the he just leaves it out there, the whole camp session. At the end of the camp session, the last day we're there, his mechanic comes out there. And he raises up the hood, you know, he closes it, gets in the car. He's in there 10 seconds, boom, and just cranks right up. And we're all standing around.
It's a miracle.
Right. We're just like, what? It's been sitting there 6 weeks, and this guy, and he gets out of the car and he says, Mike, you gotta, Mike, you might want to put that thing in park before you start it up.
Oh my goodness.
So it sat there for 6 weeks. He bought all these cars. He didn't have it all the way in park.
I think he just run a little low on cash, decided to come on y'all's dollar, I think. Well,
you may be right, because that sucker is tight. That's exactly what, that's one of my favorite stories ever.
Me and him, you know, we was at a fancy restaurant for some meeting or something, and I paid for the meal. And he's like, I'll get the next one. And he actually, we went to a Sonic one day. And he said, yeah, remember that time? And he bought two brown bags. And I thought, are you seriously trading that for this?
That's funny. There's a Seinfeld episode about that where the guy.
You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. You know how he is.
Oh, yeah.
He was legitimately sick. You got the last one for, you know, a couple $100. I'm getting this one for $5.
He kept his word.
He kept his word.
Boy,
you got your meal. That's pretty funny. Let's take another break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
All right, so I guess we're going to move into Romans 5 today. Last time we kind of got through Romans 4 with Abraham. Was there anything else you wanted to, that you thought about, Jason?
To put one in there.
Go ahead. Right?
Because I quote this verse with every human being I studied with when he's talking about the difference between the law of works, and faith. When a man works, his wages are not credited. This is 4:4. A man is not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation when you work for something. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. They're saying, you can't earn this. It's already been done for you because of Jesus being the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. And I always give everybody this verse because it has far-reaching ramifications if misunderstood. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. We have forgiven, we have covered. And then it says, blessed is the man or woman whose sin the Lord will never count against him. I said, never underestimate what he just said there, who will never count his sins against him. I said, that's the position you need to be in as you walk on planet Earth. It covers a lot of downsides or gotten rid of, is shame and guilt and all of that, Al.
Yep.
It's done away with right there in that statement.
That's right.
And that's why I always stress it to people. And most people say, never count. I said, they said, well, I've lived such a life. I said, I understand. The girl the other day, one of the girls we baptized, they called me back in the back room, her and her husband. She said, I don't know, I'm fixing to do this. Put my faith in Jesus. She said, you know, I want to be born again. She said, but you just don't realize, Mr. Robinson, how many sins that we've been guilty of. I said, let me explain something. You could have a mountain of sins. They're all fixed to be removed in about 15 minutes. Never to be held against you again. I said, don't forget that. Of course, they just busted out bawling when I told them. They were so thankful. But all their life, they just never had any peace of mind because they kept thinking they weren't good enough to be saved because right. they had so many sin.
Right.
So we see it all the time, but that was pretty moving.
Well, and then to your point, Dad, that these words were spoken originally by David.
Yep.
In Psalm 32. And so what's interesting is he said that he was under law. He was the king of the Jews under law. But
and he had his own problems.
He had a lot of problems. But it shows you that what Paul's saying here, he's been saying consistently throughout history, and the Jews missed it, most of them, that the law won't save you. The keeping of the law won't save you. You have to understand, it's always about the heart. There's a reason why God said, this is a man after my own heart. It's because he understood that.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he blew it, because he basically checked out for about 3 years, you know, and did terrible things that had long standing
adulterous murder
and then affected his family. His family went into chaos from that point forward. And it's because he was a hypocrite. And even though he repented and got right with God at the same time, the consequences of what he did had long lingering effects,
yep.
which are any of us. So, I mean, I think that's kind of the whole point, which somebody had asked a question while we're there, had sent this to me about, let me get the exact question because it was really good. A student asked me this question, what happened to people who never got the opportunity to hear about Jesus? Meaning people before or other people, but it's always been the case that the heart of faith seeks God in any culture and any time throughout history. And so that's the whole point. And then Abraham was not a Jew. He predated Judaism.
Well, then you have to tie in the fact that we're in Acts 17, God determined the exact times and the exact places where we should live.
Right.
God did this so we would seek him, reach out for him, and find him. And the whole purpose for us being here to represent Jesus, I mean, here on the earth.
Yeah.
What are we don't think God's not working that out, these divine arrangements. My thought on the Romans 5, you know, when he says, therefore, I mean, based on this being about God's righteousness and not our own, and it being about faith in Jesus rather than law keeping, he says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace, which is what Phil was referring to, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, that this phrase is the one that sticks out to me, have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Which y'all was telling earlier about breaking into the Holy of Holies and getting the stuff. That's what we do with the more valuable things that we have. I mean, I locked my truck before I came in here because I just got it. Like, well, you know, because we don't want people with sinister intentions. We don't want them to have access. You just think of what we do. I mean,
you'd think we're out here in the middle of nowhere, we wouldn't have any problems like that. But
one thing need to remember.
Not so much.
Well, the top 10 things I find under the ground metal detecting is locks.
Yeah. Pre-Jesus, we all need to remember, pre-Jesus, according to the United Nations of all groups, they studied populations all the way back to where they found the first civilization. It pretty well... You know, you had a purging with the flood, you know, that slowed down population immensely.
Yeah.
Well, the thing just
went down to 8.
Yeah.
Well, it's basically a reboot.
I'm taking it lightly. I'm saying, boy, but look, the population, all the experts, they're not the Christian people, the people who have studied it, it flatlined all the way to Jesus. And post Jesus, it started climbing after about 1000 AD. It started climbing, and when it hit about 1600, 1700, it took off like a rocket. And we end up looking around now by 2021, you're looking at it, you're saying, man,
7 billion.
Oh, it just went ballistic. So, with that in mind, the Apostle Paul to the Galatians is saying the same thing that he said to the Romans. But it answers what Jace just said. When the time had fully come.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now God looked down, the population is flatlined, there's not but 100 million people on planet Earth,
right,
according to the United Nations, when Jesus was on the earth.
Right.
That's not all that many.
Right.
Well, when the time had fully come, whatever that means in God's sight, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law when Jesus showed up, to redeem those under the law. You're like, when he came forth from Mary, the law of Moses was marching on.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it to redeem those under the law, was the purpose of him coming when the time had fully come, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you're sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave by disobeying the law and being condemned for it, but a son, and since you're a son, God has made you an heir. But that's how he got you out from under a law of works that no one has ever kept, but the one who died to redeem those who believe in him. So that's the whole story. No matter all these epistles, they all cover that at some point.
Right. I just don't think we should underestimate.
Grace is a wonderful thing.
Hang on, Jace, let's take a break.
The idea that we've gained access to this. You know, when I was reading this before we did this, I just was curious. So I did a Google search, which is, I get the information. That would be like you going and reading encyclopedias, mm-hmm, on places that you don't have access to. I was shocked at some of the stuff that came up. I mean, there's you could sit there for hours.
Yep.
But some of them were more disturbing. You know, there was an island in Brazil that you're not allowed to go, anyone, because they say during some sea surge that the whole island is filled with venomous snakes, thousands and thousands and thousands. So I thought, this is weird. I've never heard about it. But it was on several top tens, this island in Brazil. So I thought, well, that is awesome that here we have a situation where they don't want people to die. Oh no, I got to read. That's not the reason you can't go there.
They don't want you to hurt the snake.
They're protecting the snakes. Oh, my head just
I thought, here we go.
But most of the things were stuff like that. There was some artwork in Norway and some caves, and no one's allowed. And I thought, okay, you have some of the greatest art ever, but no one
can see it.
Well, they won't.
What is wrong with these people?
There's another island right off of India. I don't know whether you're talking about the same.
There was another one in India.
In India, and there's an indigenous people there.
That's it.
About 500 or 600. They can't allow humans to come in there because they're not immune to the, because these people are like they lived thousands of years ago. But right, there's about 500 or 600 of them. They interbreed, smaller type.
I saw them. But Phil, you know why that group? Now, that's not the same as the snakes in Brazil, but that group, the biggest reason they won't let people go in there is because they think these people will kill them.
Oh, they probably would.
Because they're like,
this is like an episode of Star Trek. So this is the prime directive.
Well, Area 51 was in the top five on most of the list.
Yeah.
So that's there too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to your point, so what are we from the Area 51 deal? Oh, we have some kind of secrets about extraterrestrial beings that we are not allowed to know. Just think how stupid that is, Al. Why wouldn't you just tell us?
We should know.
But think about it.
If you really had it, why wouldn't you tell us?
That's right.
We're humans.
But think about it. Instead of trying to save their life, Jesus showed up and the world was in that shape because of their sin. And he came to redeem the world from their sins. He's way up above all these man-made things about we can't go over here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The greatest thing.
We don't want to hurt the snakes. We don't want to hurt to bring disease to these people because it'll kill them. But Jesus said, I've come to set them all free.
I shared the story of my search for this reason, because one of the top 10 things that showed up a lot was the information sector and the materials in the at the Vatican, and it's like only special scholars, very limited amount, are allowed to go in there. And I thought, isn't that the exact opposite of what this is saying?
Yeah,
we have the greatest information and the greatest person
available to everyone.
Available, and he's like, I'm just doing this for free. Here, have access to grace, which is complete forgiveness and redemption at my blood being.
And you receive immortality out of it.
And you can have peace. You can lay your head on a pillow and say, my sins are forgiven. I'm going to live forever. Here. And you have access to the Father. You can ask, you know, that verse that says you can ask whatever in my name. That doesn't mean he's going to instantly say, sure, Bob.
By the way, I watched Chosen last night, the first six episodes. I haven't seen it, but.
What do you think?
Thank you, Jesus. When you.
That only took a year.
Yeah. Finally got around to seeing it. But it was very insightful.
Yes.
Because when you're reading something about something, that's one thing, and you're like, whoa. But when you see the events that are being written about, it has far much, much more power to it.
It does. It does. And which is, to your point,
these ordinary men.
And it's well done.
Running around there, Peter and all of them, just old, what do you say, rednecks, rascals type.
But it's well done, wherein I believe in the past when this was attempted, it turned into something that didn't seem real or credible. Which, look, when you have Hollywood producing something, you get a different feel than when there's a guy who's doing it right from the technical side, but he's also, you can tell, he's read his Bible.
Yeah.
Which, look, I love the first thing that comes up for you watch it is they said, we encourage you to read along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which was a
which I found out, I didn't realize. Let's take another break. I didn't realize until I met, or haven't met him yet, but by phone, met the guy that created it, that they have a study guide that goes with it. And so Mom tells me that for the last like 3 weeks, in fact, I think today is their group meets. So they watch an episode, and then these folks that put this together have a study guide and the discussion around it,
it's fully aware,
which is really good. I didn't know that either.
So we can talk about that.
I was impressed
when he comes.
Yeah, next week he's going to be on the podcast.
Well, I don't know how many podcasts from now.
It'll still be a little bit.
I'll let you figure out the math. But we want to get inside the guy's head and see, where he comes, which is probably the Holy Spirit. But
you talked about just, so it struck me, y'all talking about this island of these people.
Yeah, in India.
Yeah,
I have we went through about five. I have 100 places that are.
But that think about how arrogant that is for whoever made the decision, whoever that was, that these people don't deserve the right to know what's going on on the planet. This is like
they were saying it's a safety issue to the outsiders because they don't want to hold them responsible for if they kill you. Because these people are cut off from the world.
Yeah.
And they're like the oldest people is what they're saying on the earth, which is kind of, it's making a lot of assumptions.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, yeah, if you wandered in, okay, you didn't know they were there. You pulled up on a boat, they killed you. But they need to know, like, they could be wiped out in 2 seconds. I mean, it's big. It's way more than, it's like you got this little microcosm of people. I was thinking about like the Amish. Bless you. I was thinking about with the Amish. I didn't realize this until I read recently, because they're a very closed group, right? I mean, you're there. They got their way of living. We've had some interaction because we've spoken to some things.
I don't really know, but I've met a lot of them at shows and on. They're really nice.
They're very nice people. And they make wonderful products and stuff. But I didn't realize when they just hit a certain age, they're teenagers, they have a period of time where they allow them and even encourage them to go check out the modern world and then decide whether you want to live out there or you want to come back in. Now, I think once you make the decision, you're in, you know, you're in the group. But I never knew they gave you the choice, but that gave me even more respect for their way of life. Because
I respect them highly.
You should have a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, you should have a choice.
Well, there's a fine line between having a close-knit group of family and love and having a cult.
Right. So that's exactly right.
Once choice is not available, I mean, because God created us with a choice.
Yeah.
So,
and we've seen that.
Unfortunately, we hate, you know, look, especially when you become parents, you're, you know, you see it in your own life, obviously, but when you see your kids making bad choices, you're like, but it's still, you realize it's their choice and they have to work through this and find their own way to this access.
I'll take the Amish over these worldly people every time.
Right.
I respect them highly.
Well, I do too. And there's a lot to respect. And a lot
by the way, we met some up there in Pennsylvania, wherever we spoke up there, you know. But they asked us, they invited us to speak to them, you know. Yeah. You know, the elder.
Well, anybody from our world could easily slip into their world, it would probably be you. I'm saying.
Well, you don't have a cell phone. And,
I'm saying that has Amish tendencies.
Yeah, computer.
You kind of understand that world.
You drive at the same speed as the horse and buggy,
right.
Even though you have a hunk of metal.
Right.
You're both going about the same speed.
You could do horse and buggy. He could be
horse and
that.
Buggy. That's we're going back.
I don't mind if you go horse and buggy at all.
Phil, I'm fully aware.
I'm saying you're tapping into your inner.
I'm just thinking if when diesel gets up, you know, $3, $4, $5 an hour, a gallon, I mean, you ride along, come by on the horse, you know, a little hay and feed him a little bit.
Yeah.
Good way to roll.
Well, they always say that everything goes back, you know, to the way it was, but now we're headed for the electric vehicle. Now we'll try that a while, but then we may eventually get back to the horse.
So I think here's what we do. We take Dad and we send him in on a boat to India, to this island.
Yeah.
And because they need to know about not only about what's going on, but they need to know about Jesus. So we're just going to send you in there. I think you could convince them. Yeah, you know,
if you can get the Indians or the Brazilians to ask me, I'll go down there.
No, it's two different countries.
Wait, we're in a different.
The Brazilians, they have the Snake Island.
I don't want to go to Snake Island. I'm out on that.
I got a.
I don't even like a snake here.
Well, I don't either. I mean, my neighbor.
An island full of snakes.
Which I don't know.
That close to getting bitten by a cottonmouth the other day.
Hey, yesterday.
I just picked up a log. And chunked it because it was on the road. The four wheeler didn't want to bounce off of it, so I just reached and grabbed the end of it. But you know, how dumb could you get? I mean, you'd want to test that a little bit, shake it a little bit. I just bent down, picked it, and as soon as I threw it, I mean, you know, about the size of my arm, a big old bull Congo just came out of that thing. I mean, my hands were right above him, like inches away.
Jeez.
And
what did you do? Did you jump?
I told myself on the way back to get in the four-wheeler, I said, that was dumb.
Did you run or did you just say, what the heck?
No.
And you didn't have your weapon because you had your hands on the
It was in the rig. But when I got to it, he was smart enough to get out of there. But I tore the weeds up on the way out.
You started firing. So you had your gun.
I went for him. But he could have bitten me and I'd be swelled up right now.
Well, Phil, you might have been dead.
It was a close call.
Yeah. Odebo, my neighbor, yesterday, he stepped on a snake and I heard him. I thought it was his wife, actually, because the sound he made was like 10 decibels up.
I've come this close to being bitten so many times that I just consider it pure luck. I mean, it is luck.
Yeah.
He was grabbing his chest, and he's like, and I said, what happened? He said, okay. It was a poisonous snake. I said, well, did you see his head? And he's like, nope, but it was a blackish gray head. And it just came at me. Which I started laughing. I could tell he was getting angry. I was like, I'm not laughing at that you could have died. I was like, it's just the high-pitched scream. He's like, well, I mean, I'm clearing this. It's like I could tell his rage because his yard was really grown up, which I'm his neighbor, and I don't care.
You're not having a problem with that. Are you going to call an HOA meeting and deal with that?
Well, he has chickens that we share.
When your legs get right up on him and you're fixing to step on him, you'll see that flash. You look down, and their mouth's open, but they're just sitting there, and they're saying to you, "One more step, and I'm fixing to nail you." So they do warn you a little bit. Their mouth's open.
But they're also aggressive. I mean, sometimes they'll come.
Well, when he said this, the more I interrogated,
you don't think it's a.
No, I don't think it's poison. Because I was like, "How big was he?" Now he said, "Was blackish gray." And I was like, "But the fact that he, because he said he just took off," I said, "That doesn't seem like a cottonmouth." Yeah. I said, "It may have, you know, the look," and I've never seen one here
in our neighborhood.
And so he was like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you." I mean, because he was traumatized. He's from California, which explains it.
And they're a little high-strung. I mean, they're a wonderful family.
Yeah, they are.
They're a little high-strung.
We've kind of, you know, we've bonded. I love them. But,
you know, something got in their chicken coop, like a coyote or something, a feral dog or something, and basically wiped out all their chickens.
Oh, yeah. They I was there for the whole thing. I think, you know what? I think it's hawks.
Is that what it is?
Which are protected. And he's like, "Well, we need to talk about that." I said, "It's going to be a tough conversation." if you start participating in illegal activity, I understand.
He's a lawyer. He ought to figure it out.
I was like, but you know.
They're both lawyers.
They're a result of the big HOA embarrassment that Duck Dynasty
highlighted.
Yeah, with them, because all those people were like, "Oh, we got to follow the rules of the neighborhood." But once they kind of took a look at what they saw, now why wouldn't you have chickens?
No, but what happened was we basically pulled a Beverly Hillbillies and we just took over the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Now
we outnumber them now.
So now it's full of rednecks. So we're in Swankyville with.
I hadn't bought an egg in years. Which is awesome.
I know, which is great.
By the way, speaking of snake bites.
So there's more than one way to take over a neighborhood. Sometimes you just got to make a little money and take over.
The Apostle Paul was bitten by, they claimed, that little adder in that part of the world.
Oh, he's vicious, yeah.
Oh, they claim that that's a death, they kill you.
Yeah.
They have very, very poisonous.
Right.
He shook them off in the fire and, you know, just kept on going. They were all like, "He's a god because he ought to be dead and he's not." But.
Well, here's the bottom line. Don't get upset because you can't go to all these scary places, because God's given us the greatest access point to eternity and purpose on earth. I mean.
So we just did a whole podcast, the one on therefore.
Therefore.
we were going to go into Romans 5 and we got therefore.
The
and I look
word.
Up and we're 50 minutes.
Ow, it's the first word of 5:1.
How does that happen?
Therefore. I wonder what therefore really means.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out next time we do the podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.